This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
You are listening to Family Matters.
That voice.
Oh, hello.
You've missed it. It is Mama Mish.
I think tonight is this been like, I think it feels like it's been like 2 months since I've really been on air. I've been doing a lot of podcast stuff and just catching up on doing articles for like Trans of Remembrance and stuff. But yeah, it's
welcome
nice to
home.
Be here. Thank you.
Welcome home. So tonight we have our lovely Mama Mish back. And Mama Mish, after a song that I've got dedicated to you very soon, we will be hearing about your family reunion.
Yes.
Because you went and saw your mama.
My mama for the first time in, well, it's been 10 years.
Since your transition.
Physically seeing each
other.
I
love how you're like projecting your beautiful little twins at me as you're kind of, it's, you know, we're really made for television, you and me.
Clearly. Part of the reason why I was away as well. But yeah, so I haven't seen my mom physically in 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's been 4 years since my transition as well. Wow. So it's a big thing.
We're talking family reunions. And we are also, so last week we did a history show because, you know, the day before our show was the historic marriage equality debate. And we had the wonderful Clayton, who is also a school teacher, who schooled us, who was the quiz master extraordinaire on our history class, and we loved having Clayton that we've stolen him back for this week.
And this is what happened last time.
So we're like, well, you really know your stuff. Come back.
Yeah.
Happiest birthday again for Saturday, Clayton.
Oh, thank you very much.
Big 4-0. Welcome to mine and Michelle's club.
We're all 40s in here.
Yeah, I know.
All 40s.
Kicked out the young'uns. Kicked out the young'uns. So tonight, not only are we going to hear about the family reunion, Quizmaster teacher Clayton is going to teach us about sexting and some changes in the law and how we talk to our kids and protect them about sexting. And then we are also, towards the end of the night, going to get a sample of an amazing interview with two awesome lesbian mums with their firstborn who had a home water birth. Yes, splash, splash, home water birth with the support of our favourite midwives, my midwives, Melbourne. Who we've had twice on the show. So they had a home water birth. You're going to hear a clip, a tiny clip of that, and then we're going to give you the full podcast interview. But this little track is for our Mama Mish. Welcome home, Mama Mish.
Good choice, Tina.
There you go. I've missed you.
You are listening to Family Matters. My name is Mama Mish, the kid from America. You can get after to us today. If you want to ask us any questions during the show, you can SMS us 0427-JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. You can also get us on social media. We're Twits, Family Matters 94, Facebook, familymatters.com/Family Matters on Joy.
And our podcast, which I've loaded two up today, our history show with Nick from the Australian Gay and Lesbian Archives, where Clayton, you joined us on that. That was amazing.
It was a great show, and he wasn't a bit cute at all.
He was so cute, and even I was okay, even this lesbian here was crunching. Maybe I should have joined in that previous conversation you guys were having on Stand Up Straight. But Nick was delightful, and an hour was not enough to cover.
Is it ever?
You know what? It really never is, especially for us. We're usually running straight to the end of the hour. But Mama Mish, you had a family reunion.
I sure did.
Tell us about it.
First time home in 8 years for me. 10 years.
And where is home?
Home is St. Louis.
Accent might not give it away. I don't know. You know,
St. Louis is my hometown. It's very much Bible Belt Midwest. Every corner you go around, you see another church where you pretty much would see a petrol station.
Hallelujah.
Here. Mm. Yep. Brothers and sisters, here we go. Loving the Lord is wrong. I don't want to be right.
No, so, really? Does that happen?
I swear to God.
Wow. I thought so, it's just in funny movies.
But what was interesting is I really was treated the way that I identify. So being a trans woman who's 6'3", walking around, I assumed I'd be getting harassed in the toilets or something that I've always reading on the news from what we do here from my work in trans positions and now trans POV. No, I was, but ma'am, how can we help you, ma'am? Like, no, ma'am, you leave your bags.
You're
we're
going to
help you
ma'am.
On down. Yeah,
love it.
I went down, I went to a country bar near my aunt who's outside St. Louis, and we're talking good old boys. Like, you know, big old platter belt buckles and cowboy hats. I used to dress and wear that shit. Like, seriously.
I wear that shit as a lesbian.
You're contractually obliged to do that, though.
Sorry, I get a membership.
My ex-wife actually said to me, she goes, I love you, but I'm divorcing the boots. But what was really great was, you know, like, I went to this bar and this gal comes over and she's like, all right, ma'am, how are you today? And I'm going, I'm doing well, you know, I'm going well, thanks. And I said something else and she goes, where's your accent from? And I said, well, I'm from St. Louis originally, but I live in Australia. And she said something else, whatever. Well, ma'am, I'm going to get your sweet tea for you. But now, just so you know, we've got the best fried chicken here in St. Louis. And I'm thinking, some bitch.
Oh,
this
wow.
is going down great. And
Mama Mish, I have to admit, like, I knew you were going home and I was really excited that you're going to go and see your mum because you've been Skyping and I've even met your mum over Skype. But I've read reports and I'm scared to go myself as quite an outwardly expressive butch lesbian. I would be scared to go to the States, and especially because of all the trans stuff.
Yes.
All the toilet stuff we've read in the States, because even I've read reports of lesbians being attacked going into clubs, you know, and going into toilets.
Exactly. And it's scary. It really is. And, you know, I heard of a story outside St. Louis of a trans woman who was raped, murdered, her eyeballs ripped out of her head and her genitals cut off. And it's not that they just murder, it's this
cruel,
attempt to destroy
evil. Yeah,
and it's heartbreaking. And was even funnier. Now I'm on an A380 800 whatever, this massive Airbus,
scary planes, yes,
coming back from Dallas to Sydney. Of all the people I could sit next to on this plane, right, of all the people was a transgender woman. So her was for 16 hours with another trans woman.
Love
and it.
It
was
another Australian or an American?
No, an American who's actually, she lives down here as well. And I was really shocked. I'm going, the universe is trying to tell me something. Cause it was
it's
really,
like that joke when everyone's like, oh, you must know this person. They're a lesbian. And clearly
exactly.
They put you together.
They stuck us together. They know each other.
They didn't just see you next to a mirror.
No, clearly not. Clearly not. But it was really interesting because I'm, with the things I do, I'm very comfortable with who I am. I don't worry about my voice. I'm a very large woman. But this person who'd been in transition for 27 years really was still sort of worrying about her presentation and whatever. And I'm like, look, I'll have a Bloody Mary over here. All right, you know, I didn't really care. I'm just me, which was really strange. But it was great to go home, see family.
See mum. What was it like seeing mum? That first moment you open. I don't know. Did you meet someone?
She grabbed me. She wouldn't let go. Aww. She was in tears. She was really afraid how she should actually introduce me to people because she'd known me as her son for 36 years. And we stopped talking for a while there too because of how she took me coming out. You know, it was the whole, you know, what a waste, I should have effing aborted you.
Yeah.
Like, she was really not cool.
Yeah.
And we worked through it and I went to church with her. And so I'm at church, and the minister comes over. She goes, Debbie, you must be so proud. Look at her. She's so big, but she's so beautiful. And just, it was just, and like,
surreal? And here's some fried chicken. We got the best chicken church.
Pass down the plate. Pass down the plate.
The best fried soul.
Do you think the distance from mum, from home, during your transition actually help? Do you think if had you stayed at home, you would have still had that relationship? Because you do have a really good relationship that I've seen with your mum. It's grown. And this is the thing. People evolve. They do evolve. They do. Sometimes we need to wait for them to come. But this one has.
And I think it comes down to having patience. And there's something that a lot of us in the trans community just don't have. And like my uncle was walking around and my uncle just knew me as JR. You know, he was like, hey there, JR, hey, check this out over here. Look at this here. You know, my uncle is just not. He's a bit older and he's not really with it so much now these days. And he'd go to my aunt and he's like, well, you know, he said this to Michelle, you know, he went, I mean, she, and I'm like, God bless him. He's trying, right? And I'm going, it doesn't help that, you know, I've got a deeper voice and I'm still massive. But he actually struggled with the idea of me coming home. Like he struggled with the idea like, no, but it's JR. Like what's going on? I really don't understand here. But I was there, and my aunt was so pleased with the way he was. She was just, oh my God, he's turned around. He's going so good. She goes, I was so stressed about this, him, you coming here, and I was ready to knock him out.
Families are hard anyway. I mean, we really can't. Our chosen families are our LGBT families, and we are masters of creating
our own families.
So our birth families, Christmas is coming up. We're all going to be stuck with them really soon. And for some people, that's a really hard thing. But
it's coming up to Thanksgiving as well when I was there too. And so we came more time of family coming together and being there with my mom.
Happy Thanksgiving is today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Isn't that Black Friday when they go shopping? That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I'm missing out on all the good wild turkey. And I mean all the good turkey. And
deep frying the turkey.
I've done that before. It's, you know, damn good.
Fried chicken has become a thing here in Melbourne.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's kind of everywhere now, so you can't.
There was
not
actually.
The same.
Not
as finger licking good. I'm not going to make
a
lesbian joke.
Turkey, though.
I have. So. You get this massive drum with all this oil, and you have to make sure it's not any ice or anything left on it or wet, and you get it, and then you slowly dip it in there, and it is finger licking good.
Finger licking good.
I'll have
to
share the video of it doing it before. This is when I was a man, and it was just, oh, it got so good.
I won't believe you until, Clayton, I think Mama Mish just needs to cook us some finger-licking good chicken.
We'll be doing that recipe shortly on Family Mad.
We actually might be. So to get you ready for our next segment where we're going to be using our fingers but hopefully to be swiping the right way, we'll be talking with Teacher Clayton all about sexting coming up on Joy 94.9.
There's more from the Family Mathers team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
Listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9, and that song, a little bit of a teaser for what we are going to be talking about.
A teasing.
We are. I don't want to lose my Working with Children's check. I need it for work at the moment.
Me too.
Yes, so do you. Now, we got talking about this topic last week, Clayton, because you had recently just completed some training. That's where you were during the marriage equality outcome.
Yeah, I actually, I was learning about sexting while we were learning about whether we're going to get married or not.
Yeah.
Well, this is how you get to that point, isn't it?
Well, that's right. Yes, that's certainly one step.
And it kind of made me go, oh, but you're a primary school teacher. And then I'm like, oh, hang on. I'm having arguments with my nieces and nephews that are in primary school crossing into high school about accessibility to a mobile phone. Mish, do your girls have phones?
I'm not big on the actual phone component.
That's a yes. Yeah.
My daughters have an iPod or they've got like an old phone. They can do stuff. But my 11-year-old, all of her classmates have either Facebook or they've got, the Snapchat or Instagram. And I have to say the Instagram thing with me and my oldest has been kind of good for me because I can actually see a bit of what my kid is into.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff she posts, but I do worry.
Yeah. I'm going to be a little controversial and probably not something maybe is not as nice to say to you, Michelle, but if your kids are on Snapchat, get them off now. Anybody?
It is that, isn't it?
Snapchat is really, really dangerous. Stuff disappears. You can't necessarily track what's happened and what's there, and you don't know what your kids have been looking at. Facebook, I still don't love kids being on Facebook.
Yeah, because we know we can set up who can see what and where.
And you can look back on what's happened, whereas Snapchat is just gone.
Is it true? And I've not used Snapchat, so this is like an old person talking here. 40. When somebody does, I've heard it disappears, but somebody can get a screenshot of what you've just sent. Yeah. Does that alert you that that person has grabbed a screenshot of what you've just sent?
It does alert you. The problem is they really... how can I explain this? There's this sort of attraction that they use as like all those face filters. So you can make your face look like a bunny or it can look like all kinds of stuff and you make funny voices.
Is that what Snapchat is?
So the kids are attracted to that.
It's playing, it's attracting them by using these. Mm. So this is deliberate by the maker.
And it is. And kids are, there's so many features. But those features are available other places. They don't have to do them in Snapchat. You can get an app which just solely does the face changing. Okay. Like it's out there. Snapchat may do it better. I don't know. I'm not a big Snapchatter. I think I've used it twice. And then
delete Snapchat off every kid's phone device. And it's not only on phones, is it? We're talking...
Oh, iPads.
iPads, all these electronic things.
Yeah, anything mobile.
Yeah.
You can Snapchat on it. Get it off.
So to give a bit of context, there were some changes in the law. Is it just here in Victoria or nationally?
Yeah, these are actually Victorian laws. So they've recently made changes to the law so that, once again, we don't sexually criminalise kids for their actions.
Okay.
So it's not that we want them to do these things necessarily, but we certainly don't want to criminalise kids for doing something that isn't a great idea.
Which they have in the States. They actually criminalised young kids in the States for doing things. There was actually cases of kids under 14 being charged as sex offenders for doing stuff.
And you can still be charged as a sex offender under age here as well, but under a lot more limited circumstances now.
Now, is it... we're seeing, obviously, the law changes because the law is slowly catching up to the technology.
Yeah.
And hence why Snapchat is an example of something... If they're too young, I mean, they're too young to be looking at these things. You know, I know so many kids sit there and argue, you know, but everyone's got a phone. For me, it's like putting a kid behind the wheel of a car. Just because another, you know, it's a dangerous device that requires responsibility and a lot of education before someone can get behind
and
that
that's
wheel.
From my background being an IT person, I can actually see everything my kids are doing. Like, I can actually take a look at
so
and track.
So many people don't have those skills, though, Mitch.
No, they don't. And I went and found out, like, even on my ex's computer, he logged in as one of my daughters on there. He doesn't know what he's doing. And so he's logged in, and he's gone and looked at some adult material. And I've looked on it, and I've gone, where'd this start coming from? And I found out the dates that my ex wasn't there, that he'd been on the computer. And I went to her, and I said... If this is our kids, they're losing the devices instantly. I said, this is what I've seen. And she went and had a chat with him and that just stopped. So unfortunately, what's happening is a lot of the things actually sync up so much as well. So you log in one device, your details.
And people think they can just clear cookies and browsers, but IP addresses link and stay.
Yep.
And that's the thing to...
And things can sync before you get a chance to clear anything and whatever else. Wow. But, you know, I'd rather know what my kids are doing.
Yeah.
My personal recommendation as a teacher would be that if you find your kids are looking at pornography, don't tell them off for it.
Okay.
No. So you need to have a conversation about why they're looking at it. And it's going to sound weird, but there are legitimate reasons they could be looking at it. So, and it could be just about exploring their own sexuality.
Yeah.
The content isn't age appropriate. What is important is for the kids to understand that these images are not realistic. These are not how you actually have a relationship. This is not how you have sex, especially with a woman.
So many things around that.
And just be aware of that.
Clayton, your experience as a teacher, when kids are busted, is it that they're finding images of their own ages or they are landing on things that are inappropriate and older people in pornographic things? What are kids usually landing on? So they're seeing false images.
Yeah. Everything that probably we've watched in pornography sitting around this table, making assumptions about people, hope nobody minds. Seeing those exact same materials, because if they were looking at materials of their own age, they would actually be in breach of the law.
Oh, okay.
And that's...
Because that in itself, anyone who produces and owns that stuff, that is child pornography.
Absolutely. But this is where the law changes, and I think we should...
Let's run to sponsorships, and then let's come back and talk about ages and those exact definitions of when we are talking about pornography. You are listening to Family Matters.
You are.
Here on Joy 94.9.
Oh, like with devices and stuff. Like me, you know, I'm lucky that I have this background. And with my daughters, I mean, I've got a very good open relationship with them where I can actually discuss and saying, hey, you know, here is your aunt. Here is your uncle. Here is myself. Here's your mom. You go beyond that. Here's your boundary. If you clear a friend by me first, how close a friend are they? You know, like it's a good conversation, but it's been good for us because we build the trust. And my kids have come back to me and said, well, look, hey, Dad, there's been this kid who's been a jerk and he went and tried to friend me and I really don't want to. And I said, well, you don't have to. And it's been really good. We've got this great trust. And I said to her, I said, you know, I'm very generous with this sort of thing. You know, some of the kids don't get this sort of thing. You know, I'm glad you're speaking to me, and which has been good for us. But you don't have that often.
No.
I want to put in a few caveats before we move on to the conversation. First of all, is I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
So the advice I'm giving is based from a teacher, not from a parent.
Of course.
I've got a different set of experiences, and I really want to acknowledge that I don't have that same experience with kids full time. Only I get for a limited amount of hours a day.
Oh my goodness, I think you've gone for enough hours a day.
If you do the maths, I'd have, you know,
possibly more.
Also, I'm not a lawyer.
Yes.
So any advice I'm giving is very much amateur. Our lawyer tonight is not in.
Yes.
But this is what's been put in place by the education system.
So this training you've done.
was given to me by. Oh my god, it's gone into my head.
I've got it here on the cover.
It's on the front. Victoria Legal Aid.
Legal Aid.
Sorry,
I know lots of lawyers at Legal Aid. So
Victorian Legal Aid has actually given this advice to me at a very recent training that I've done, and by recent I mean last week. While we were finding out who's allowed to get married and who's not.
So, wow, it's fresh in your head.
Yeah.
So take us through this. I mean, straight away, the first thing that you said tonight is get rid of Snapchat. Now, give us some backstory. Take us through some of this stuff here.
Okay, so
the ages stuff. I always muck up there.
So previously, it was the case that children of any age can be charged with distributing child pornography images, even if they send a photo of themselves.
Wow.
And that still is the case, as I understand, with federal law. So, however, Victorian state law has recently changed, which actually takes away that criminalization of kids sharing photos of themselves and even other people of the same age, as long as that you could reasonably assume that consent was given to share the photo.
Now, consent is the main thing, but age is also another thing. And we talked about the age of consent on the last time you were here, which shocked all of us in the room. Clayton, can you educate us again on the ages of consent?
Okay, so age of consent starts at 12 in Victoria, but it's limited consent up until the age of 18. So between the ages of 12 and 16, you can legally have sex with somebody who is no more than 2 years younger than you. And what they stress was, it's not 2 years-ish. It's not 2 years and a bit.
Yeah.
It's 2 years. If they are one day more than that 2 years, you cannot legally have sex with them.
Yeah. And to remind people, when we're talking about ages of consent, it's not like we're saying free for all, go.
No.
This is, again, a law that was brought in to protect kids that were being criminalised because of that age between them, not talking to, say, this age with an adult. That is not what we're talking about. It is actually protecting children that have gotten into, and the law has caught up
to not criminalize them.
To not criminalize
them. And
being
a parent, listening to a lot of stuff, you know, like, there are things that are on television, there are things that they're exposed to, there are things that you know, always kinds of questions, everything that strikes that interest. So kids at that age, like, I got an 8-year-old who's fascinated by boobies. You know,
you and I grew up fascinated by boobies, but we didn't have the internet and Snapchat and Facebook and all these things. We had to go and look up that, how to spell boobies in an encyclopedia, and if we were lucky, there was a diagram.
We had the National Geographic that you snuck in. Or your dad's Playboy.
So from the ages of 16, I'll just go back to
No, please. Yeah.
So from the ages of 16 and up, 16 to 18, you can consent to somebody of any age who more than anybody older than you having sex, and somebody who's no more than 2 years younger than you. However, the only time you can't consent is if the person has a power relationship with you. So if you can't consent with a teacher or a scouting person. They probably have a better name.
Yeah. Anyone in
authority role. And then at the age of 18, it becomes general consent. So an 18-year-old student can have sex with their teacher.
Yeah.
There's no law to stop that. So in other parts of the world, that is not, you're not allowed to have a sexual relationship legally with a student, so at any age. But so in Victoria, that's the Victorian.
Yeah. And now when it comes to sexting, do we follow those same age of consent rules?
So that's what happened. The law has now said that sexting is in line with those ages of consent for actual sex. Because really, if they're actually having sex, is sending a picture of themselves going to be that much different? Yeah. In fact, is it a lesser thing?
So can we get a quick definition of what sexting is?
Absolutely.
Because I'm old school, mm-hmm. again.
You did your sexting into a, like, chisel well, and a...
it's not my thing. And I hear far too often people going, oh, my God, he sent me a dick pic. Actually, there's a very funny lesbian comedian who makes a gag that, guys, thanks for making my job easier because you've sent all these women dick pics and now, you know, it's so easy for
you're
me to...
Them up.
Yeah, I can lesbian them up. Easy. Yeah. Explain to... Is that... Sexting, is that a dick... sorry to be using this language. It's 8:30.
Okay, we are going to say...
Mature enough.
We are going to say dick a bit.
Yes.
In the time's coming up.
Yes.
So, a sexting is the sending of sexual images or sexual... language.
Okay, so language is
language
in it
is part
well.
Of sexting
okay.
as well. That can describe what you want to do to somebody, or what you want them to do to you, or what you're doing to yourself right now. Or,
oh, okay.
So any
I've caught up. Okay.
Yep. So that's all sexting. Images is a big part of that, and
Mama Mish is.
We've
thank
lost
God
her.
She's not a school teacher. She's got the giggles.
Look,
yeah, and this is why we need
giggling during sex
the
conversation is absolutely fine.
Actually, I think it's probably appropriate when you are talking with the kids to take out.
Yeah,
look,
I'm thinking
that's why we're helping Michelle.
I'm just I have to take a step back here because my kid did get hold of my phone and I took photos of my boobs
because of surgery,
for medical reasons.
Yeah, for medical reasons. And my kid goes, Dad, why are there so many pictures of your boobs in your phone? I said, give me my phone.
Get away from my surgeon.
Sexting my surgeon. And so it's hard. Like you don't realize the things that they get exposed to.
No, I'm giggling.
Yeah, we are so immature for this.
So
it is language and it is imagery.
Yep.
Videos as well.
Yeah. So it's, you know, sending the dick pic, sending a photo of your tits or your labia, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. All that sort of stuff.
Whatever part of the body you decide to send. Anything that portrays a sexual image. What is not sexting, though, is pictures of... people in bikinis if it's actually not meant to be a sexual image. So if you take a photo of your friend at the beach in their bikini and you send it to someone, that's not sexting. So,
inappropriate if your friend hasn't
well, it doesn't
you,
know nothing about it. Yeah. Assuming there is consent because... consent is the big thing. Sexting is legal in most cases providing consent is there and consent to share that image. So Now, in terms of age,
consent,
consent.
You know,
consent.
Hollywood needs to learn this, but yes, consent.
Definitely, you listened on the weekend. We're going to discuss that issue on Geeks Out. What the law is saying now is that a 12-year-old can send another 12-year-old a picture of themselves, and that isn't child pornography.
The thing is, and I know Mama Mish has stopped the giggles because she's now pondering this. When does a child actually truly understand consent?
I don't think they understand consent.
I don't think they do. And I think this is why the law is catching up, thankfully, because kids really don't have... and, of course, this varies on children. You deal with kids at this age, understanding consequences and things like consent. They're difficult concepts for a child to understand. So I like that the law is catching up to ensure that they don't get into more trouble than curiosity and a bit of mischief in their age group. But still that, how
it's
do you teach those kids?
Absolutely challenge to understand why... kids would be legally able to do this, but you really got to focus back on that.
Yeah.
We don't want to criminalize them.
No.
So it's not that we want them to do it. It's we don't want to make this give them a criminal record for it.
Because the problem is once you have pretty much what you have those kind of things
that's
in your
it,
record,
your life,
pretty much is so, dead. Pretty much your life is over.
Clayton, how does one, and that's the thing I assume, before you can even have the conversation, you need to start making kids aware of language of consent and what consent means. How does one do this?
We actually start quite often in prep with that, in terms of just that.
Just permission about your own body.
You know, if someone's not touching you in the way that you're comfortable with, you should say no and repeatedly and as loud as you have to.
But a lot of parents now these days are getting wind that we're teaching kids in school this sort of stuff, and parents are actually kicking back and don't want us to teach their kids.
Yeah, I tend to think that is based on misconceptions about what's getting taught rather than what's actually getting taught.
Yeah.
So we're actually not teaching that sexting, you know, is something that 12-year-olds can do. The conversation that I would still have with them is that in certain cases, your sexting can end up being a criminal act.
Yeah, getting you in trouble. They need to know that. Yeah.
And I as a teacher, I would not teach the kids that it's okay for a 12-year-old to text to sext another 12-year-old. Because I would get in trouble with parents, and I should.
Yeah.
But telling the kids that it's not a great idea and those images can go further and all those sorts of things, and pointing out the risks.
Well, look at just recently in the news here, there was a an article about Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence had naked photos of herself on her phone. Her account was hacked, and there's a whole handful of naked images of her all over the internet now, and it spread like wildfire. And
but you know what? It's kids don't really, and I've noticed this with my, you know, the kids I'm around, their universe is quite small. Mm. They don't see the universe that we see and understand how we interconnect with a bigger global universe so quickly. Their universe is their family. It is their extended family. It's their classroom.
Clearly adults don't get it as well either.
They've got some learning.
Sending a dick pic to someone who doesn't want it, you know, can be seen as sexual harassment. So...
Yeah,
so
I assume one, you're educating them that this can get you in trouble. Are kids also taught, and how do you talk to kids about you've received something that you know is a bit not right? How would you explain to a child to deal with that?
I would talk about sharing that with somebody they trust because, it's not necessarily that we want this other kid that sent you the picture to get in trouble. Again, we want them to make sure that they're okay because often signs that the kids are sending these sort of things and engaging in sexual acts at that age is a sign that something's not okay. So
the signs that a child is that sexualized that early is a very bad sign.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's about getting help. So we're talking kids like, if you get this, we don't want to get them in trouble, but we really need to talk to them. So come and talk to us about it so that we can talk to them. And making them feel comfortable that that's okay. And if you don't want to do anything else, delete it.
Can I ask a question? As a Greek Orthodox child, we have highly inappropriate photos taken of us at our baptism. As you know, Greek Orthodox babies are dunked in a bath and were naked, and the whole church gets to take a photo of you in your famous skin. When is that image of sharing those pics of children in the bath at the... Is that where adults can get in trouble when they're sharing those images?
No, adults, those sort of pictures, if they're not sexualized, those sort of images are legally fine. So sending a picture of your kid in the bath naked is not going to get you in any trouble.
Yeah.
It's and the law does actually recognize those pictures as being valid. So, and they actually discussed that as part of the training I had the other day.
Because you see a lot of, you know, there's images, you know, of kids running around the sprinklers and only got like young girls with bottoms on with no boobs or anything, but you know, no tops on running around, like say in the sprinkler on a what do you call it, the slip and slide or whatever. And it's worried now of what can you and can't you do. And it's even a point now where there's some dads I know who talk about how they won't even bathe their kids anymore once they're like eight because they don't want any. Because they're too afraid of people saying anything negative.
And that's a really disappointing place to be.
Now, kids can have Facebook accounts and phones now at an earlier age than...
They can, but they shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
The phones, sure. Actually, there are some very valid reasons to have a phone.
Yeah.
Facebook accounts...
I'm still yet to find one. I've been fighting on this. Yeah.
I would say, look, not a smartphone.
Yeah,
you can go dumb phone.
A dumb phone for kids, whatever. That's perfectly fine. And there's been an increase in dumb phones.
Languages equally. I mean, they're going to have to take them forever to text the old school way we used to on our
boobies.
Nokia.
Oh, I could do that.
Kind of thing, on our calculators. But yeah, some of the things that maybe surprised you in the training.
Well. A lot of it. No, actually, I was kind of fairly... That's not
it
true.
It sounds
I did not know
so far,
that the law had changed to allow kids to send pictures of themselves and of others as long as they're aware of that consent. So that actually really surprised me because I was assumed that, you know, we don't want those photos, which we don't.
We don't. But
it's really important not to criminalize kids with these issues because you can't help them if you criminalize them.
Mm. Yeah. And those criminal convictions, some people think they go away when they turn 18. They don't.
No.
It stays with them.
There is a point, the law can actually dictate when they will no longer be recognised as a sex offender, and that with kids that they do, well, not necessarily at 18, though it can actually go into their adulthood. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you. So
please.
I think we might.
It's time for quiz.
Yes.
Well, it's time for quiz.
Do you want to play any little bits of thing? Or no.
I might just play this little thing.
Okay, the sure. Life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
And now, Quizmaster Clayton.
I think I just
you're
going to
quiz.
live on air.
Live on air. Quizmaster.
So,
Mama Michelle, are you ready to be quizzed?
So, these are true and false. I'm going to get. Is your paper. Just can you close yours? Because you've actually got the answers in front of you.
Are you cheating?
Yeah.
I'm closing.
You're the teacher. The teacher's notes.
You're the parent, and I'm the not wanting to lose my job and watching my children check.
She studied last week. That's just cheating.
I did study.
Okay, so you're 15. Your 16-year-old boyfriend sent you a sexy pic. Under Victorian laws, it's okay for you to keep it. True or false?
False.
True, because it's within the 2-year gap and he consented by sending his own pic.
Yes.
Yeah!
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Thank you. Not competitive at all, Michelle.
No, not at all. I'm just thinking it was my own daughter. Be like, delete that shit.
No,
you can absolutely keep it. Sending it could be more of an issue unless he said, oh, you can share it with your girlfriends, show them my junk.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Which, you know, happens. So a girl you're seeing who's at uni sent you a nudie. It's not child pornography because she's an adult. Is it okay for you to keep it?
Depends how old I am, doesn't it?
Well, that's a very valid point, which is not specified in the instructions.
Because she's in uni, she's a routine.
Unless you're Doogie Howser and you're, like, really young. Okay, most university students... No, I have to confirm, I do work at a university. Mm. Not all university students are under 18.
Very true.
It is difficult to get students under a particular age, but majority, okay.
So, okay, so this is what... It is true, it's okay for you to keep it. So the difference is, even if the guy is, let's say, 15, and the relationship itself would be illegal, it wouldn't be illegal for that 15-year-old to keep the text because he didn't send it.
Okay.
So, however, it was illegal for the 18-year-old to send the text.
Mm.
So, the 15-year-old would not be in trouble.
But that 18-year-old, now you're 18.
Yeah. So, that's all good. I just going to quickly jump to this one because I just like it's fun.
Go.
An 18-year-old guy sends his dick pic to some mates who are a bit older. This is legal.
Totally legal. Totally. Dude, why are you setting yourself up for, like, you're totally shamed.
Well, I remember watching this thing on some TV program or whatever, and it was...
He did eat a fly.
I'm so sorry. That came out of nowhere.
Buzzed all the way
out. Yeah. And I was talking about... This person was going around asking about sending dick pics. Like, no, you only send those to your mates. And, like, they're going, no, sending a dick pic to a girl is so gay. Like,
oh, my God. What?
I was like, this is a really odd conversation. So
that
apparently,
is a really
apparently
odd
straight guys send their dick pics to each other.
Yeah,
I can assure you girls do not share their bits in sex.
A report from the other side of the fence, from living as a straight man for 36 years.
Really? Yeah. No, I would have thought not to. Look, I'm a gay man, so we do send dick pics.
straight men don't even talk about anything beyond, like, sport and fishing.
Another one.
Your friend in year 9 sent you a pic of herself in bed, naked. She said, share the love on Facebook. I don't know why I went American with that, sorry. It's okay for you to post it. True or false?
Oh,
false.
My God. Wait. Okay, this is me getting so technical.
Mm-hmm.
She's in year... what grade? What is she?
Year 9. So
year 9.
Would be
so she's around 14?
Yeah.
She's 14. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so her friend would be about 14, which means they're eligible to have a Facebook account. I assume it's in the same age. She's consented to an inappropriate picture of herself going on social media.
Mm. But Facebook laws would...
So we're actually looking for a true or false here.
True.
Okay, false.
Oh.
She is under 18, so if you post her pic, you'll commit the offence of distributing an innocent image.
Okay, do that one again. Explain that one again.
Okay, your friend in year 9 sent you a pic of herself in bed naked. She said, share the love on Facebook.
So up until share on Facebook, that was legal.
Yeah.
Share the love on Facebook means she's distributing
child
the image of child pornography.
Oh, my God.
It's complicated.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. You post a photo on Instagram of you and your friend at the beach playing cricket in your bikinis. That's child pornography.
False.
Because it's not sexualized.
They were not sexualized.
Not sexualized, and they're playing cricket. They're lesbians. They're fine. Smart girls. Anyway, move on.
A criminal record goes away when you are 18.
False.
Child court records last for up to 10 years, and magistrate court records can last a lifetime.
Wow.
It didn't say lifetime. It actually made that sound weird, by the way I said it.
I have no idea.
Okay. You and some friends had a few drinks and started taking sexy pics of each other.
Hopefully you're 18 if you're drinking. Continue.
It does not specify age at this point. That they're really funny and you all want to post them on each other's Facebook walls. This is illegal.
So much
matters. The question again?
Yeah.
So let's do the whole thing again.
Okay, cool. You and some friends had a few drinks and started taking sexy pics of each other. They're really funny and you all want to post them on each other's Facebook walls.
Sexy pics, not nudes.
This is illegal.
False.
Okay, it says true. I'm going to read out the bit after it.
So, yes, please.
It is illegal to send on to someone else, post or share sexy pics of anyone else is under 18, even if they agree to it.
Okay, but the question didn't say they were under age. Yeah. It didn't say it was nudes.
I think age, but still, just don't do it.
No.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. I'm going to throw out this one first. If you are under 18 yourself, you can't be charged with child pornography.
Under the new laws, true.
True. Yeah.
Wait, no. False. Consent.
Consent.
Yeah.
And also, if you get a random child pornography picture off the internet and had that on your phone, even at the age of 14, if it's not someone you know who sexted it to you, can still be charged with child pornography because it's, you know, it's where the content came from and consent, as you said.
So there's a whole...
You can definitely still be charged with child pornography and, as I said, federal laws are different anyway.
Yeah.
So you're 17. A 14-year-old guy... You sent you a sexy pic. You're breaking the law if you keep it on your phone.
Wait, you're 17, they're 14?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, true. He's under 18. So he could be... So the pic is child pornography and he's outside of that two-year age gap. And once again, really emphasize, it's not 2 years-ish or 2 years-mish. it is 2 years to the day, to the hour.
Wow. Good. So it should be. Wow, frightening stuff.
It is.
Delete Snapchat. It's not needed.
No.
There are other face filters. Because it is. Things appear and disappear so quickly.
And the age for Facebook actually is 13. And
13 now.
So keep, well, it has been 13 pretty much the whole time.
I thought it was 14.
A lot of people thought
maybe
that.
Maybe that's 13. How I liked my name.
So if your kid is under 13, they don't need it.
They're going
to survive without it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's there's stuff on there that they don't need to see.
Now, we were talking during the pre-recorded interview we just played there. If you do find something inappropriate on your child's device, we would probably advise, we're not lawyers again, we would probably advise don't send that image to your advice to then take to the authorities. Just take the device because you then could be at risk of being in possession of child and distribution. Take that device to authorities. Do not send it to your own device.
The other warning, though, is that with the way things sync with most accounts, so your Gmail, whether it's iCloud, whether it's Yahoo, all of them, when you log into a device with that, and let's say your kid's got a phone and a laptop, if there is, it's found on the phone, double check all the other devices that the account is logged into because
images would have synced
everywhere.
All those home smart, simple sharing device. Share your images, share your photos, share your songs, share your Okay.
Don't share your junk.
Don't share your junk. Yeah, just really simple. Don't share your junk. It's simple. Now, we have run up to the end of the hour. Thank you again, Master Clayton, for educating us on all the stuff that is really scary and uncomfortable to talk to kids. I'm glad you are doing that. Next week, we have a two-hour special. That's right.
2 hour tour.
2 hour special from 7 p.m. Family Matters will be on the air. Thank you, Stand Up Straight.
Oh, more than welcome.
For giving us your hour. Because Family Matters is going on a little holiday. We're a bit tired. It's the Christmas break. And actually, Christmas is the hardest time for all of us.
I've got kids.
Everyone's got kids.
You know.
Beck and Dave travel usually during that time. It is the hardest time to get the team together.
But we will still be around. We'll still be putting content out. And in the meantime, you can still get us. We're Twits, Family Matters 94, facebook.com/Family Matters on Joy, and you get our podcast, joy.org.au/Family Matters.
So we will see you next week for our two-hour We're Off on Vacation special episode. We've got some we've got 2 hours because we've got that many special guests coming in to talk about the funniest topic parents have talked about to me, and that is unsolicited parenting advice. So we're going to have parents come in to give unsolicited parenting advice about unsolicited parenting advice.
I give it all the time.
We all give it. None of us, well, Clayton and I don't have children. So join us next week for an amazing two-hour special here on Family Matters. Up next, woof, grrr. We love them dearly. It is our absolutely wonderful bears. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.